Jon Favreau is best known for writing the independent movie Swingers and for starring in it with Vince Vaughn. The film was set in the world of Vegas and Hollywood clubs and lounges. Vaughn played a guy who thinks he's very cool and tries to show the more insecure Favreau how to meet attractive women. Favreau also starred with Vaughn in the crime comedy Made, which Favreau wrote and directed. Now Favreau has his own series on the independent film channel called Dinner for Five. On each edition, he and four guests from the movie world have dinner at a restaurant and talk about movies and whatever else is on their minds. The series premieres on Monday. The first edition features Vince Vaughn, Gary Shandling, Peter Falk, and Sherry O'Terry. Here's Favreau introducing a new topic.
They have puppy play days in Hollywood, which I've never heard of before.
Only in Hollywood.
Somebody invites you over to play, to have your dogs play, but there's only a certain age group and you are not allowed.
They have to be, a certain age group because sometimes puppies, if they're let with a bunch of other adult dogs and they haven't had all their shots yet, they can catch something. So
you chose to adopt?
Yes, I did. Because I can't have a dog of my own.
Yeah, it's so hard to have a dog. You can't actually have a dog. You can't have a dog. So that's you actually, they leave you no choice but to, that's why dogs have low self-esteem and will you know, listen to what you say and everything. Because they're lucky to have a home.
Now, but your dog is half chow and half.
Not half and half. It's mostly, I think, golden retriever, but no one really knows.
But that's interesting to me because the chow, I think, bites more people than any other breed of dog.
That's a misunderstanding. I'm mad at that, too.
The conversations on Dinner for Five are set around a restaurant table, but eating isn't the most flattering time to be filmed. I asked Favreau if his guests really eat during the shoot.
People actually do eat, and it's actually dinner time, and part of it is, you know, we just have the cameras rolling before the people sit down. They're mic'd already. The cameras are far away. And the idea is to sort of lull people into the feeling that they're just having dinner and not being observed. You know, of course, it's impossible to replicate. But part of the reason that I think it works is because everybody that comes on the show, I'd say like 90% of the people I'm either friends with or I've worked with, and they trust that I'm not going to cut in shots that are unflattering. If they say anything that they regret later, I'll cut it out. And the goal really is to make the people as relaxed and as comfortable as they can. I like to surround people with people that they've worked with before, people they're friends with, and try to sort of simulate the atmosphere of just being, you know, at a dinner party with a bunch of friends.
Now, you're best known for writing and starring in Swingers and for writing, starring in, and directing Made. Where was your career heading before those films? What kind of parts were you being given?
Well, I'd moved from New York to Chicago and become an improviser, done improv comedy, and I got my big break in a film called Rudy. It's my first starring role. And I moved from Chicago out to Los Angeles on sort of the heels of that success. And I got an agent, and I had made it in my estimation. It was beyond anything that any of the people that I had been working with in Chicago ever dream could happen, because, you know, it's a big part in a big movie. I moved out to Hollywood, and, you know, the landscape was a little more bleak than I had anticipated. I thought I had it made, and I just sort of was at level one. You know, there was another mountain beyond the mountain. And a year after I had moved to Los Angeles, I had met Vince Vaughn on the set of Rudy. We had been hanging out, and I wrote a script based on somebody who was in L.A. for 6 months and who had gotten over a relationship, which I had as well. And that turned into the script for Swingers.
If you went to a club after making Swingers, did you find that women who had seen the movie related to you any differently?
Yes. They were far more open to sleeping with me than before I was famous, I found, surprisingly enough.
To put it bluntly, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically the biggest difference was, you know, you go from somebody who was a character actor who nobody knew, who, you know, really it was like a sore thumb in Los Angeles coming from Chicago where I was living at the time and had no sense of style or anything. And then I moved to Los Angeles. And now all of a sudden I'm famous for whatever that's worth. And, you know, me just in the nature, I always went from long relationship to long relationship, but it was nice to be flirted with. It was nice to have women available to me. And I ended up meeting my wife really in that period because I would only go short stretches of dating more than like one person. And I think that much like the character in Swingers, I really, you know, I don't think that I was in a happy place when I was single. It's nice to be in a good relationship. And I have to say that now that I'm married and I have an 8-month-old boy named Max, it makes me so much more open creatively.
So how did you meet your wife? Was that at a club?
I met her at a bar. And I was like on a first date or a second date with somebody who I had very little in common with. And the woman who later became my wife came up to me just to say hello and that she liked the movie. And she told her mom to see Swingers because she had just moved to Los Angeles. And I thought she was an actress like 90% of the women you meet in Hollywood. And it turned out that she was a doctor, which was intriguing to me. And she made such an impression on me in the short conversation we had that I ended up calling up the hospital where she worked and getting her pager number and getting a hold of her. And we ended up going on, out to dinner. And then I stopped being interested in seeing other people. And we were together for a long time. And we've been married now for over a year. And we have a little boy.
Now, you grew up in Queens, New York. I believe you're half Italian and half Jewish?
Yeah.
Do you connect certain traits in your personality or sensibility to being Italian and being Jewish?
Yeah, for sure. I think they both have a similar sense of family, extended family, a certain comfort level when it comes to eating with a lot of people.
As you're doing in your TV show, right?
Yeah. I think that's part of the reason I'm doing Dinner for Five is so much of the whole idea of storytelling, not just storytelling, but watching somebody order, watching who takes over the table when the waiter comes, going to a restaurant and figuring out what the right thing to order is. That's a very Italian thing. It's a very Jewish thing, too. There's a lot of pride taking at mealtimes.
Were you brought up either as a Catholic or as a Jew? Did you observe either?
I was brought up as a Jew, more so. Actually, I wasn't directed in any particular direction. I did go to Hebrew school for a while.
Uh-huh.
My father's very, very, I would call him at this point probably a devout Catholic. I know my grandmother certainly was. Catholicism was an important part of her life. Whereas Judaism wasn't that big of an element, except for culturally on my mother's side of the family. But I lost my mother when I was 11 or 12. I was young. And I think that drew me closer to that religion. And I certainly relate more to that culture.
My guest is screenwriter, director, and actor Jon Favreau. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is filmmaker and actor Jon Favreau. He's best known for his films Made and Swingers. Now he has a new series on the Independent Film Channel called Dinner for Five, in which he and four guests sit around a dinner table and talk. You went to the Bronx High School of Science. Were you actually considering a science career before you pursued film?
Yeah, I wanted to be an engineer. I was going to go to Cooper Union. I was on the waiting list. It's a great school down by St. Mark's Place, a free school. Thanks to the endowment of the Aston Fortune. And I was in the waiting list. I didn't make it in, and I was going to go to CCNY, City College, for engineering, and I decided to stay at Queens College and do pre-engineering, and then I discovered beer and dating and college, and I slowly got sidetracked away from a career in academia. And I took the fire department test. I didn't get in here in New York, and then eventually, I went cross-country on a Harley-Davidson that I had bought after working a year on Wall Street, and I stopped in Chicago and saw Mike Myers performing improv with Chris Farley and a lot of people who are on Saturday Night Live now, and I said, this is it. This is what I want to do, and I moved to Chicago, and the rest is history.
When you got to Chicago, you stayed for a while. One of the things you did was get a job washing dishes at the Improv.
At the Second City,
At the Second City, oh, okay.
Right, okay. Where they do improv. The Improv is a stand-up club where they don't do improv, they do stand-up. And Second City is a cabaret theater where they do improvisation from time to time.
Were you able to, like, learn anything about comedy by being the dishwasher there? Did you have access to the things you wanted to learn?
Yeah, because I got free classes, and I studied there. I got to watch
Do you have to do improv to get the job as the dishwasher? I mean, do you have to audition for that?
No, it's like everybody else. Everybody there wants to be on the stage, on the main stage at Second City, because that's where Belushi was and Bill Murray and all the people you look up to, and you wanna be just like them and get on the main stage and get plucked off and go on Saturday Night Live and live the dream. And while I was there making my bones and trying to get noticed by the people, I was washing dishes in the kitchen attached to the green room of the main stage. And at that time, Chris Farley was there and Tim Meadows. And it was just hilarious what would go on backstage when they were changing costumes. You have Chris Farley running around naked, making everybody laugh. It was quite a scene. And at the time, you don't really appreciate it. But now you look back, and now that everybody's moved on to bigger and better things, or tragically, like in the case of Chris, no longer with us, you really look back and appreciate what was going on, and it feels like almost like, you know, when they talk about the writer's room on your show of shows, or, you know, the Algonquin Round Table. You know, at the time, I don't think those moments really felt like anything that special, but with the nostalgia as time passes and careers are formed, you realize that those moments when you were just, when I was up to my, you know, up to my elbows in suds, waiting for, you know, to check out, and get out onto the street, that was probably the time when I was learning the most about comedy, watching the improv sets every night, you know, as I was seating people in the main room. And that was a tremendous place to learn, because when you're doing improv, you're not just learning how to act or be funny. You're learning timing. You're learning to listen to the audience. You're creating your own material as you perform it. You're editing your own material. You're ending scenes when they should end, and you learn about editing, directing, writing, acting. And so when I made the transition from acting into writing and then later directing, it was a very easy transition that I had already sort of made, because I had already worked in sketch comedy for so long.
I understand you're writing a Western about a Hasidic Jewish gunfighter.
Yes, it's written. That movie I wrote when we were editing Swingers, and that was the project that Vince and I wanted to do right after Swingers. The problem is, financing a Western is hard enough. Financing one that features a very violent Hasidic Jewish gunfighter is even more difficult.
This is a comedy?
They don't know it. It's a comedy, but it's very true to the Western form. And it's been characterized as an anteater, which is a term for a film that people don't know what to do with or how to market. So it becomes a very dangerous bet. But as Vince and I become more marketable commodities in Hollywood, and as this becomes this is our biggest endeavor, is to get this film made, you will see it hit the screen at some point.
Well, Jon Favreau, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's always a pleasure. I'm a listener, and I'm so proud to be on your show. Thanks a lot.
Jon Favreau's new series on the Independent Film Channel is called Dinner for Five. It premieres Monday with encore presentations on Wednesday and Saturday. His movie Made is now out on DVD.